Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle Noonday Bible Study. Oh my God, what an awesome day to be alive, an awesome day to be in the presence of God, an awesome day to be in the sanctuary where we can learn more and more about Jesus. Amen, because the more we know about him, the more we love him, the more we love him, the more we'll share him. And so we thank God for today. Amen. This is a great day to be alive. We thank God for our leaders here at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle, our senior pastor, Bishop Kevin J. Jones, our co-founder, Archbishop Ruth W. Smith. Thank God for my wife, Pastor Ann, and all those, Brother Reggie, Elder David, Elder Heater, as she comes in. We thank God for all those who are in the building, those who are logging online. Thank God for you, and especially you, being here today. We are so excited for what God is going to reveal to us today in this word. Amen? So we're going to open with prayer to Pastor Ann at this time, and then we'll continue on.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Th
Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you are our peace and you are our joy, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are our healer, Lord. We thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. We thank you for your son who died on the cross that we might live again. We thank you for the Holy Ghost that comforts us and reminds us, hallelujah, those things that we have forgotten about. Hallelujah. We
thank
you right now,
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, God, that we can trust you with all of our hearts. We don't have to lean to our own understanding.
Hallelujah.
But in everything, we can acknowledge you, and you will direct our pathway. So, God, we thank you right now, Lord God. And we bless you, and we honor you, Lord God,
thank
that
you,
we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. Oh,
you,
God, we thank you for it, Lord.
Thank
we
you,
bless
Jesus.
You, Lord God.
Thank
that
you,
we
Lord.
Continue to trust you, Lord, and that you will continue to lead us, oh, God. You'll continue to bless us and keep us and motivate us. Hallelujah, Lord. As we study your word today,
thank
Lord,
you,
let us
thank
our
you, Lord Jesus.
With clarity to
yes, Lord.
Word,
yes,
God,
Lord.
As
Jesus.
We came in last
thank
year,
you, Lord
at
Jesus.
Noonday, Lord,
thank you, Lord Jesus.
And at 7 p.m., but
thank
I
you,
tell
Lord
you at
thank
noonday,
you,
we had an awesome time,
thank
so God, we want to thank you that you
thank
are going
you,
to show up in this hour,
yes,
this
Lord.
Hour,
yes,
at this time.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. You're going to bring forth clarity.
Thank you, Lord.
So
Jesus.
That we would know how to
thank
live
you,
today
Jesus.
And tomorrow.
Thank you, Lord.
So God,
Jesus.
We give you all the glory.
Thank
we give you,
Lord
all the
Jesus.
Praise. We give you all the honor. We thank you for those that are in the house today.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for the confession.
Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And we give God glory and give him praise in
Jesus',
mighty Lord. Name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.
Thank the Lord.
There's a song that I want us to listen to. You can sing along if you want, if you know it.
I'd like to take a little time out to thank God for the many blessings he's given me. When I look back over my life and I see where he brought me from, I can truly say that I've been blessed. Let me tell you, woke up this morning, got out of my bed, I looked around, here's what I said. Thank you, Lord, for the blood you shed. You put a roof up over my head. Thank you, Lord, for another day. All these blessings you sent my way. You see, I could have been dead in some lonesome grave, but you told, oh, death, you told it to get back and behave.
Another blessing.
Ooh-wee.
Ooh-wee.
Another blessing.
Another blessing.
Oh. Lee Williams sang.
I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I can count on God, he won't let me down. He always do just what he said. Pain and suffering, he brought me through. All wide open, he always welcomed you. I've been blessed in so many ways. I just want to lift my hand and give God all the praise. Another blessing. Ooh, wee. Another blessing. Ooh, wee. Another blessing.
I got my legs and I can walk.
Another
I got my tongue, y'all, and I can talk. Even the air that I receive. I got my lungs and I can breathe.
When I look. All the blessings he's given to me. Bless my family and they're doing fine. Gave me peace of mind.
Thank God for the blessing.
Thank you, Lord. Another blessing.
Hallelujah. Ooh, wee. Another blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God today for his mercy and his grace. And again, we are in Romans 1. And I think we stop at verse 27. See, Elihiz is on the line today. Good morning, Elihiz. Good afternoon, Elihiz. You're not live.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you? How's everyone there?
Everybody's good. We have Deacon Bass in the midst.
You have who?
Deacon Bass. Reggie Bass.
What you say? You done caught another fish.
Amen. So we thank God today. We're gonna I think we stop at verse 27, but let's give some introduction to where we are right now. And we see where Paul is writing this letter to the church at Rome. And in this church we have some Jewish believers, and we have some Gentile believers. And so Paul is told them about the first foundation that they need to work on as children of God, is our faith, to make sure that our foundation is faith and faith is sure. And so we need to build on our faith day by day. And then he began to go let the Gentiles know the reasons why they did not accept God as their creator and did not worship him as the creator. And he went through some reasons because they took him for granted and they wanted to worship the creature more than the creator. And so because of that, there's some results that happened, and those are the results that we're getting into now, how he said that man have left the true meaning of themselves and now changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. And we talked about how people worship their cars, worship their homes, worship their children, worship their jobs, worship a whole lot of things, and not only worship but serve. And we saw how we talked about how worship and serve are two different things. And you can worship something, but when you serve something, that means you are slave to it. I began to think about how even when God had delivered Israel from Egypt, right? And while they were in the wilderness, and Moses went up to the mountain to get some direction and instruction from God, the Jews begin to get impatient and say, "Now build us a God." Now God just delivered you from Egypt. You saw, and the reason why I believe God did those 10 plagues is to build up the faith of Israel. Because the first plague that came, Pharaoh said, "Hey, y'all can get out of here." But then God hardened his heart, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I believe it was to build up the faith of Israel. But still, I mean, they just got out of Egypt, came through the Red Sea, and they now they're talking about building us a God. I mean, if you got to make something, don't you the one have power over that thing? If you have to pay for something, don't you the one have power over that? And so they're asking God to make, they're asking Aaron, who's the high priest at the time, to make them a God. And so Aaron said, "Okay, all that jewelry y'all got from the Egyptians, bring them to me." And he made them a calf, and they began to worship that thing. And Israel told them, "Here, this is your God that brought you." I mean, hear what he said now, that brought you out of Egypt. Now, they know that calf didn't bring them out of Egypt. But he's telling them, this is the God now that brought you out of Egypt. So a lot of times we get bamboozled by our own desires for what we want and make those things gods, and then we begin to serve them. And we know, if we think rationally, we know that thing didn't bring you out of Egypt. You just made it. You're on the other side of the flood, right? So how in the world this thing is your God? But we see how the devil have bamboozled us and got our desires so warped that we begin to receive things that are not even the God, but we think it's God. He said we worship the creature as opposed to the creator. And he said, for this cause, and the reason why the cause and effect of that is God has given them up to vile affection. Even their own women did change the natural use into which was against nature. So they're doing things that's against nature itself. And it's amazing to me how it's so prevalent today. And not only is it prevalent today, but it ain't just started. It started way back in creation. Well, after sin came up, all the we get their orgies and all kind of crazy stuff was going on in those days, and it got so stink in God's nostril. He said, "Listen, I got to wipe y'all out." I mean, you know, it had to be bad. I mean, God is so merciful. He is so kind. And it got so bad for God that he said, "Hey, Noah, build a boat. I'm gonna kill these jokers." So he wiped out everything except 8 people and the rest animals, one of each kind. I mean, two of each kind. And so and then after he did that, again here comes Sodom and Gomorrah. Same thing. I mean, going all kind of vile infection, all this stuff happening, right? So this ain't nothing new. So what we see today ain't nothing new. It's just more profound because now of the internet and all that stuff, we can see stuff so profound in our faces, right? So to now that they are telling you that you can decide your gender. Now, like you said, nature decides your gender.
Amen.
You have this organ. You have that organ. This is what you are. This is what you are, right? Now they're saying that you can decide what gender you are. So they have on even the birth certificate.
Jesus.
You can put what you want to on the birth certificate. Before, the doctors were the ones saying that, "We got a male, we got a female." Now, they're allowing people to use their preference. I mean, how crazy is that?
Jesus.
Right? They're allowing people to use preference, not what nature said there. That's what they're going against. They're going against what God created. God created you a male or female. Right? And you can't decide what you want. And what's amazing to me, it's how come if I'm born in Africa and I'm darker than me right now, how come I don't change and say, "Okay, I'm Anglo," and that's okay? Can I change my race because I want to? That ain't happened yet, right?
Amen.
But Satan knows what it takes to get people on board with what his plan is. So he would allow people to say, "You can decide what I want to be." Yes, ma'am?
Yeah, you know, a while back, and I'm sorry to interrupt that, a while back when you were talking about the flood and then Sodom and Gomorrah, and you used the sentence or the phrase that it was a foul, like a stench in the nostrils of God, the sin,
amen,
you know, that was going on. So I guess I want to throw out there today, why is it today that people don't think it's the same stench in God's nostrils? You know, I know they legislate and law a lot of stuff legal, but I don't think that the individual or whomever, I don't think when they're going on in this type of, monstrous, behavior, I don't think they think it's a stench in God's nostrils.
Oh, no. They think, I mean, people don't do anything unless they think they're justified in doing it. I mean, I don't care how crazy it looks to you. If they have justification of doing it, that's what they can feel free to do that. And so, but the thing is so crazy that, let's say even the at the schools and all these other places, they want to have use the same bathroom. I mean, so the person who is going by what the nature said that they are has no rights anymore, because the person who think they are something else can come into their bathroom. So what are the rights of the person who are going by what nature says? They are overlooking that person's right. But because it doesn't matter, it's the Satan has bewitched them that this thing is so right that, we just should have freedom. Nobody got no freedom to do what you want to do, because the breath in your body, God gave it to you. COVID proved that to us. We ain't free to do what we want to do. When that thing happened, everybody except them with me. the wickedness of man has gotten so bad that God said, okay, go ahead. y'all think y'all can handle it? Go ahead. He just gives them over. That's what the words say, right? He gives them over to these affections that was deep down in them because Satan had planted a root in them. So now all this stuff is coming out. And it's only in their head because it's in their heart. We talked about that last week, right? And so when you have somebody who your nature says that you are male, but you want to be a female, what's really crazy is that they're more feminine than a woman. They act and talk more feminine than a normal woman. They switch more, right? Because they're trying to convince. A lot of them, there is also a movement going around to former homosexuals. They're trying to educate them that it was just a mind thing. And so you know only some radio stations are talking about it. A lot of people are not talking about that. That they're going around, they're going to having a movement trying to tell people, yeah, we were in that too, and we realized that. That don't make sense. Because if you want same-sex marriage, why one of y'all acting like a man and the other acting like a woman? That tells you right there you don't want same-sex. Right? That tells you right away. That tells you right away, even if I don't care how you're looking at it, one supposed to be looking like a man and one going to look like a woman.
Yeah.
So that still tells you that one want to be a man and one need to be a woman. But because they have the physical organs, they think it's something different. But it's the same thing. Your mind is still telling you they got to be one or the other.
Yep.
And they ain't got it. Satan has bewitched them so bad that as simple as that sounds to us, right, they don't see that. Their eyes are blind to that. They don't see it. And that makes sense, right? I mean, if you want to, one have to be another gender, pretend to be another gender, and the other one is the other gender, does that tell you that it's not same sex? But they call it that. And so we got to pray that God will continue to use us to educate them. And the power of the Holy Ghost would do the rest. But they have been given over to this. God has just said, okay, I'll take my hand off it. Because y'all have not believed who I am. I am the creator. But no, y'all don't want to believe it? Has your mama ever tell you, you've been doing something over and over and over? Your mama said, okay. I washed my hand off of that. And before you know it, you got to come back to mama and say, I'm sorry. You were right, right? Let me talk about me. I did. You know? And so God is doing the same thing. He said, okay, I'm going to give you up. And we've seen it today. It is so prevalent.
Wow.
I mean, compulsive, you name it, whatever. It's talking about it like it's normal. And you got two daddies, and you got two mommies, and you're raising a child. And you think that's – and then we try to figure out why kids are acting up in school. They're confused. They're frustrated.
We'll find some of us in that way because he talks about the fact that a way that seemed right unto a man would lead to destruction. And so he's letting us know, and the Bible tells us these things are going to happen. So the other part of that is those of us who are Christians and know the way, then we should
Absolutely.
Because love is going to bring some of them in. You understand where the mind's been distorted? Love is going to bring some of them in. So mm-hmm. we have to not be indifferent towards people of different, just because they are different mm-hmm. from us.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to come in here that are different from us and don't believe the same thing, but then we have to show the love which may convince them to make the change. Everybody is not going to be saved. The world, the Bible lets us know everybody is not going to be saved. But
Amen.
You have to be saved. You have an opportunity to be saved. So the thing for us to do is show that love to those that are indifferent as they come into the house, or if you meet them on the street, wherever you see them at. They're in our families as well. So all of us got these same people in our families. So
mm-hmm.
it's important to show love.
Yeah, we got to be the light. We got to be the light, okay?
Amen.
But Paul is telling the church, these are some of the things that's going on. Because a lot of times we get saved, right, and we start wondering, you know, why people are acting like this? Why this is going on? So Paul is telling you, look, this is the reason why these things occur.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because of it just came up. No, because of our sinful desires, and continuously not wanting to obey the word of God, God just gives you up. And so verse 26 says, and for this cause God has given them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use, that which was is against nature. And verse 27 says, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, mm-hmm. and receiving themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
We see God put a disease out years ago, and it wiped out a whole bunch of them, a whole bunch of people. Even innocent people who was not practicing that lifestyle, but they were with somebody who was going both ways, and they wind up attracting this. But now they got pills and stuff now that people can live with that. living with AIDS, and so now they have a commercial showing it, and we got two men kissing each other on television.
Jesus.
And so these, what we've seen in the Bible, we've seen it today. So we shouldn't be surprised by what we see, because it's already in the Word.
Yeah.
It's already in the Word. And so let's go now from, any comments on those verses?
Yes, I was going to say something at the B part of verse 27. Receiving men with men, committing indecent acts, and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Mm-hmm. And so there's two recompenses. And the one it's talking about is the actual physical penalty. And like you say, that had developed in AIDS and other, sexual diseases. But men had got mm-hmm. so intelligent that, like you say, they had come up with medication to cure some of these things so people could still live the lifestyle. But the mm-hmm. That was the physical part. But the spiritual mm-hmm. part, as Pastor Ann was saying about the end of that choice, is destruction and death. And so it doesn't negate God's word to say the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Mm-hmm. And so And I was looking up some information on that penalty. And so one of my things, if I could read it, it says they divulged in such impotent acts, their minds could not control their monstrous passions. That's what you said turned over reprobate minds. And so in Rome, the man's name, Tacitus, he was speaking of the emperor Tiberius. He tells us that this is what got me. I mean, these affections were so vile, these inaffections. He tells us that new words had to be coined to express the newly invented acts that stimulated their jaded passion.
Wow.
Now, you know, they used to put everything in the great library, the great library. And here, back then, it was such thing. They didn't even have words. And so now that's where we get the wordage or the verbiage for these acts, because they had to come up with something. I thought that was so interesting. And, of course, the penalty for these jaded passions is self-destruction, receiving the full retribution. And one of them, it was saying here that they mortified their body, mortified, where we get the word mortician, or mortified, caused to be put to death. And so it wasn't just that their own bodies, physical flesh, be so sick with whatever they be put to death, but the soul also that sinned shall die.
Yeah, that's a danger.
So, and let me consider the worship and the serve. You see how rationality and common sense can't penetrate it. It got to take the Spirit of God to do it. Because I don't know how else to say it. It is almost like you're being possessed. That you just spoke, that you're just hearing and seeing what that thing is telling you. You're not seeing the real thing. Yeah, people say, "Oh, somebody told me to come and get and shoot everybody," and they feel they're obligated to follow whatever the instruction is that thing is telling them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that lust is the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have that lust in you to do whatever it is, and you know,
mm-hmm.
we can say all the sexual stuff too, but what about eating and all this other stuff that we want to do, right?
Yep.
You know, gluttony is a sin too. You know, but we don't talk about that. But gluttony is a sin, and so anything you do in excessive, it becomes a sin. And so, but that lust, what drives you, even though you know that you're 280 pounds. And you see that pint of ice cream, you're going to go to the store and you're going to get it. And you're going to sit there and you're going to eat the whole pint.
Mm-hmm.
But you already know that it's bad for you. But guess what? Because of the lust, the desire in you, you're enjoying while you're doing it. And like I said last week, because we have been condemned, this body has been condemned to death.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? So that sin is to show that. And God said, the day that you eat this fruit, you shall surely die. So like we said last week, no one has ever lived over 1,000 years, because 1,000 years is like one day to be God. And the things we crave for is the things that kill us. Somebody have sugar diabetes, guess what they want? Somebody have high blood pressure, guess what they want? All the salt they... And they know salt is bad for them. But because of what's inside of us, that craving, that lust goes for it. And so the same thing with all these other sins. If we don't allow the Holy Ghost to come in us and purge us with all that, that's why we talked about last week. You can be saved, but you got to be delivered. There's a difference in being saved and being delivered. And we went through the Lord was going to bring that out last week. So we got to be delivered. And guess what? Jesus said you got to crucify yourself what?
Daily.
Yeah.
So every day you got to work on something. Every day you got to kill something that's in you. Because if you don't, it's going to rise above and have you doing stuff. And you say, oh, my God, I know better than that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, having somebody come to you and you know you shouldn't be telling them what you think, but you have to read them. You have to just go.
Okay.
All right. You just have to tell them like you feel it.
It's a wonderful analogy, I think, about the killing of the flesh and being more spirit, because one thing about it is when you're doing these acts, it's definitely a fleshly move.
Definitely.
So when you talk about somebody maybe coming in as they are and whatever caused them to be like that or whatever the mind did to make them like that, when they become spiritual, they don't practice on that act, or they don't want to do that act, or they want to be delivered from that. And so that's where the killing every day, because I think a lot of people who are like that, they struggle because they know whatever their situation may have been or how they got like that, it is not of God. He loves you, but he does not love the act.
That's right.
So that's where sin comes from that.
So, and I may be wrong, but let me let you say what you have to say first.
I wanted to talk about the lust and homosexuality and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a relative who is gay. And even though he was brought up in the church, he's struggling with doing what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he knows what the Bible says. So he has... since he knows right from wrong and what he should be doing, he's fallen into depression.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that he knows that the Holy Spirit is convicting him of what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that lust thing, it'll have you doing stuff when you know it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is with this, because he's crying out, now you have to give him the word. Because the only thing that is the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So that is an awesome thing that he has. He gets recognition that this is wrong, and so I want to change. And God will grant that. God will definitely grant that.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at the word for his.
I'll take him back on what she was saying. But the Bible tells us that. Struggling or something like that, this person probably wants to get free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even when you accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, you talk about that living.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible gives us instructions how to get free of anything that you are involved in.
Mm-hmm.
John 8:36 says that when the Lord sets you free, you're free indeed.
Mm-hmm.
But before you get there, Matthew tells us that be ye separate.
Mm-hmm.
Come out from among them. Even if you get set free and you keep hanging around the same people doing the same thing, you're going to go back into doing
the same thing. Thing.
Mm-hmm. And you get hooked again. And the Bible says we are snared by the words of our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that when that person comes around, church folks, talking to faith and belief, when he gets back around his group,
he can talk.
He's talking that same thing and doing the same thing. And from my understanding, from having to talk with people who are gay, who live in that lifestyle, who talk to people, I've talked to people who counsel gay people who live in that style, and most of them are not happy with where they are.
Amen.
Struggle among each other, even gay marriages, they have a lot of struggle from just being their sexuality. Mm-hmm. So down in, they know that that's not right. You know, mm-hmm. The Bible says God has given every man the measure
mm-hmm.
of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 Corinthians, it says, God says, I have put my word in their heart. So people know the difference between right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to tell, hey, man, what you're doing is wrong and all that stuff. But they let Satan and other people influence them.
Mm-hmm.
20 years ago, they had Gay Pride March.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 30,000, 40,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have a million people all over the country into gay pride.
Yeah.
And if you look at them, they look just like us, talk like us, smart like us. They do everything in life just like us, except they are going one way
mm-hmm.
and they should be going another. But
mm-hmm.
here's the difference. The Bible says we have to be loving and kind-hearted toward one another.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't just mean church folks.
Mm-mm.
It's all people.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see somebody in church, a guy mm-hmm. with a dress on, and, oh, get him out of here. No,
mm-hmm.
we have to be
mm-hmm.
loving and kind.
That's
hard.
Right. That's right.
The Bible says that Jesus says, people know that you are my disciples
mm-hmm.
by the love that you show
mm-hmm.
one another.
Mm-hmm.
You have to show that same love
mm-hmm.
to the world. I think as a church body, we don't pray in our individual life
mm-hmm.
for God to give us more love
mm-hmm.
and a heart for the lost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's easy to even ride down the street and see somebody
mm-hmm.
pushing a buggy
mm-hmm.
and a homeless
mm-hmm.
and all this
mm-hmm.
stuff to have in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he needs to get a job under the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he needs to get a job
mm-hmm.
instead of speaking the word of God over.
Mm-hmm.
But that's our weakness that we have if we have that weakness.
Mm-hmm.
But 7 Peter says that God has given us everything that we need that pertains to godliness and righteousness
mm-hmm.
to the knowledge of Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to change those people is the knowledge
mm-hmm.
of Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Not by how great you can do,
mm-hmm.
By you laying hands on them.
Mm-hmm.
So remember, a lot of us was born with a Bible in our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of us
mm-hmm.
was out in the world
right.
doing not maybe the same thing,
mm-hmm.
but we were doing things that were just as destructive to our
that's
life.
Right. That's right.
As
right.
These people are.
Yeah.
And but we raised up in church.
Mm-hmm.
Mom and grandma used to
yep.
feed us and drag us to church.
Right.
And let's say our Bible verses.
Mm-hmm.
And we go need to pray and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere along the way, God sent that Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
to touch you. So all we can pray for is God, do your thing.
Yeah.
Touch him and pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the most powerful thing we can do to anybody. Because if we all admit, if it wasn't for the prayer of our grandparents or some uncle or
I'm bad.
They'll
know it.
Be in the same, maybe not the same night, but we'll be lost. You know?
Yeah.
So if we pray that special fervent prayer and talk about it,
right.
Righteous.
Mm-hmm.
If our grandparents prayed it and they had unlimited knowledge of God,
mm-hmm.
but they believed,
mm-hmm.
then we can pray the same prayer. And then the people that we pray for, they get saved. They pray the same prayer. Then the gospel is going to spread. But the world is going just the way the Bible says it's going, as
mm-hmm.
it was in the day of Noah. As the world in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be
mm-hmm.
when Christ come back. So it's spreading like wildfire. They
mm-hmm.
sang a song that said, good news travel like a bad news travel like a wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
Good news travel slow. But we are God's mouthpiece in this world. And so all we can do
mm-hmm.
is what God tells us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to stop trying to do God's job
mm-hmm.
and do the job that God told us to do.
That's awesome.
And once we do that,
mm-hmm.
things are going to lay out.
Mm-hmm.
Your mama said something years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When she was teaching Sunday school or something, she said, we can't change this. We ain't going to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
All we can do is try to be ready when
mm-hmm.
it comes
mm-hmm.
and try to have as many getting ready as we can. That's all we can do.
That
touched me. That opened up something in me.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can do.
That's all you can do.
What God called you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are called to be a dishwasher in the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
or deacon or whatever, do that.
Mm-hmm.
And stop trying to run the church.
Mm-hmm.
Stop trying to be the bishop and the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Just do what God told you.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome. Now, I wanted to mention something about that's good, about salvation. I do believe that once we get saved, we are delivered. It's just that we won't walk in the deliverance that God has already gave us. We are delivered, but we won't walk. That means that you said something right there, and you may have said it too, about the fact that, and we know that once we get born again, you know there's a process. There's a process. So if we have some things going on in our life, it don't just drop off right there. Some things will drop off, and you will just stop doing it. But the thing is that when you get born again, God don't do no shortcuts. When you get born again, you are delivered. You have that deliverance, but you may not walk in it. And you may have to get more teaching. You may have to get more training. You may have to have more love. You may have to get more understanding concerning that thing that you may be dealing with. Because guess what? You haven't had it a long time, probably. It's been with you a long time. Because when we get born again, then now everything that's in us has become new. It has become new. But that does not mean that you're going to stop everything that you were doing yesterday because you got born today. You're not going to stop everything. Some stuff will stop right away because you're ready for it. But some stuff is not going to stop. So say, for instance, well, I'm not going to go in for that because we ain't got much time. But anyway, I just wanted to share that too. And I don't think that we were saying that last week. I don't know if we were saying that totally. I believe you said that. But you probably saying it the way that I'm saying it now. You are delivered, but you ain't delivered. You haven't accepted that deliverance that you do have. You have to roll into that deliverance.
Well, this Elder Heath,
okay.
I don't fully agree because as Pastor Burke say, salvation and deliverance in the Bible clearly separates that. Salvation just means you was rescued, and it does not mean, like you say, there is the process of sanctification. So you are the rescue. I could be on the junkyard and rescue a rusty old automobile part that I need for my car, and I can rescue it from that. I can salvage it. That's the salvage yard, the junkyard, and bring it home. But if I just let it sit there in its rusty condition with all the stuff that gathered on it and never clean up the corrosion and the rust and everything, it's not fit for new. It's still old. It's still the old thing, even though I want it. It's been salvaged. It's been salvation. But else, you know, because there, like you say, some things may come, but deliverance, hallelujah, deliverance, it takes, you know, the prayer and fasting, the hand of God. Deliverance is a process because the enemy, of course, doesn't want to see us delivered. We know that, but I just, I can see those as being two different things, because even going through people been in the church for years and learned for years, 20, 30, 40, 50, but yet they are still not delivered from some things, it does take that. And like everyone probably has a different opinion of that, but that was my say.
Okay, I'm not quite sure what you're saying you disagree with.
That you're saying you're fully delivered when you get saved. You said you believe that people are fully delivered, that deliverance comes with salvation. And I'm saying that to salvage something is to rescue it, but you're not, just because you've been rescued, you're not fully delivered from all of the things that have been going on, you know, mm-hmm. in your body. And it's right here, what we're talking about now in Romans, he was really talking to the Jews, the Jews in where he was speaking to, Paul was, and they had come over to the side of the Lord. They mm-hmm. had become left behind Judaism and had come to Christ. But all of these things were still in them now that needed to be delivered from. Pastor Butterfield was even talking about when the Hebrews left Egypt, the Red Sea and that passageway opening up was a passage of salvation. They came through the water. They came through that path of salvation. But we know they weren't delivered because soon as Moses went up through the mountain for 40 days and all that Egypt that was in them came out after they had been delivered, you know, or been, you know, saved from or rescued from the hands of the Egyptians. So it does,
I think you're saying the same thing, but you're saying it differently from two different perspectives, okay? What we're saying is because the work, the finished work on the cross is complete. When Jesus
for
said
salvation,
finished,
yes.
Yes. So the thing is that our deliverance comes in developing and growing and,
yes, sir.
And learning.
Yes.
And so that's our deliverance coming at. But the work that Jesus did is not going to halfway do it.
Right.
He's going to complete it. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
But we're saying the same thing from a different perspective.
Okay.
Okay, we're saying the same thing, but from a totally different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get born again, you come into the kingdom as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to learn.
You got to learn.
Now when you learn, you're going to walk, you're going to stumble, you're gonna, all this stuff going to happen. But your mama says you're going to stumble,
mm-hmm.
you're going to stumble up the path.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's your development. Because the trick that Satan comes to you when you first get saved, a year later, you shouldn't get tricked by that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says this. And I always take every word that's in the Bible, it means something. He said, lay aside every weight.
Every weight.
And the sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not all sin now. He said, but the sin is so easy.
It said to.
There is something in all of us.
Yes.
That easy to set.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to watch that thing.
That thing.
There is something in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible said this. It didn't say what particular sin it was,
mm-hmm.
right? Because all of us have something in us.
Mm-hmm.
What's been put in us as a child, whatever we come, our environment, whatever is in us, that there is a sin that tugs on us. And we know it. All of us know it. That we work on every day. Help me not to succumb to that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes through development.
Mm-hmm.
And first you're going to stumble in. You're going to say, man, and because you're saved now, your attitude towards the wrong you do is different.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the whole thing.
It.
But it's not that you're saved.
Mm-hmm.
Doing wrong bothers you.
Mm-hmm.
You might do it, but it bothers you.
Mm-hmm.
But before, you did it, you were glad about it.
You weren't thinking about it, right?
Yeah,
right.
I mean, I did this last night. But after you then got saved,
when
you mess around and do that thing, you feel, oh, my God, oh, my God.
But you may still do it.
So your heart is sorrowful because your heart has been changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So the deliverance is not there yet for that.
Because
you fell back into it. But you're not practicing. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And so we got, we're saying the same thing, but we're saying it from two different perspectives. That when you get fully converted, born again into the kingdom of God.
You had a key.
You are king.
Yeah, you had a key to it.
But there's a sin that's so easy to set all of
us. Yeah.
That we got to learn how to lay it down.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if your attitude, your heart towards sin, that's why he says it's in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I'm talking about. I can see where you're coming from, but I know in the second part of verse 16 of this chapter, you know, it was just telling us because you believe salvation is from the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. But you just can't believe away, like you say, these burdens and sin that easily beset you, because Jesus told the disciples that those things come out by fasting and praying. And you just can't fast and pray because other sects do that. You can't say, I fasted and prayed, so now I'm saved. I have salvation. No, it says, like you say, salvation comes to those by the power of God, to everyone who believes in their heart. So that's what I'm saying. There's a definite a separation of believing in your heart, receiving salvation, which is the power of God, and then being delivered because, like I say, other people fast, but it doesn't bring salvation.
Elohim, also on the other, the scripture also says, we have to work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
working it out after you receive it. It didn't say receive your own salvation by fear and trembling. The working it out is what I'm talking about, which is also the working on the sanctification process, or the process of sanctification, of deliverance. Yes.
That's right. That's right, Elder Heath. And Elder Davis is going to speak now. But that is, if you're not born again, you ain't got nothing to work on. But if you are born again, you got something to work on. It's a process. Okay.
Yep.
I just said one thing, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you're weak for, the devil is going to keep coming your way.
Yeah. No matter, saved or unsaved.
Whatever you're weak for,
mm-hmm.
the devil is going to keep it coming your way. Galatians 5 says that the flesh and the spirit were one against the other.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give in to, if you're led by the spirit, you won't give in to the lust of the flesh.
Mm-hmm. And that's what the pastor's been talking about here. For the longest, and went so deep into it Sunday before last. And he was talking about the fact that you may be lusting after, he was using a woman, looking at a woman, lusting after a woman, or whatever, and God ain't going to stop making good-looking, attractive women. And he says, the only way that you can be delivered from that is that you draw close to God. Draw close to God concerning that thing. So there is things that really, really catch us, and that's in all of us. There's stuff that all of us going back to God. We need to be wanting to go back to God, because other than that, we'll just be doing whatever we want to do. Mm-hmm. We have to have something that is drawing us back to the Spirit of God, of realizing and knowing that we on our own. Other than that, we'll be thinking that we did it ourselves, and delivered ourselves.
And this is exactly what Paul is telling the Roman church. That's why we fall in this error, because we're forgetting who God is.
Yeah.
He's the creator. He's the one who delivered us. He's the one who did this. So rather than us coming up with our own philosophy on how we should handle this thing, we got to go by this. And Jesus is in the perfect example. Whatever he did, he used scripture. When he was tempted, he used scripture. When he was on the cross, he used scripture.
Yeah.
Now, whatever Jesus would have said on his own would have been scripture. It would have been read in the Bible too, right? But he's set an example for us that we use the Word of God as our standard. Whatever we're doing, match it up with the Word of God. We talked about last week. When we pull down every imagination against every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So if something is going against the knowledge of God, something is going against the knowledge of God, then that thing you have to pull down. The knowledge of God is...
Yeah, right.
It's the knowledge of God. So if it goes against this, we got to pull it down out of our thoughts, out of our mind. When we pull it out of our thought, it don't get in our heart. We talked about it last week, that the mind is the freeway to the heart. You're going to have officers in there to say, don't come in. Because if you don't, and like I say, that thing that's so easy to set us, it's going to pull some stuff in there. Because it's attractive. It's just like a man.
Attractive.
If you don't have lust in you for a woman can dance around you all day long. It ain't going to bother you. But if you if you're easy to lie or cheat or whatever, and that's been your problem, that's where Satan gonna come at. Smoking and drinking is no problem for me because God changed my nature. That's like I said, I can't smell this stuff. I get sick, right? So that Satan, no, I ain't gonna be tempted with that. But other things you can come at me with. You see what I'm saying? So this thing we gotta grow on and not be succumbed to those things. And so that's what Paul is trying to get the Roman church to listen. These are why these things are happening. But it ain't all doom and gloom because we're going to find out there's hope.
There's hope.
Right?
Deacon Beth, you want to say something?
No. Well, the only thing I want to say is you definitely have to stay grounded in the Word because nowadays, they're trying to flip the script. And the problems that I've always had is the whole thing that they've done wrong for so long and they're trying to make it right and they're trying to convince us. You know.
Trying to convince the Christian.
Absolutely. That's why it's important that you got to stay grounded and know the Word for yourself.
You got to. That's good. We want to make sure we leave here on one accord on concerning the Word and everything. So we all have something going on within us, and I think Deacon Bass just made sure we heard exactly what we need to hear, and that is we got to stay close to the Word concerning everything that is going on in our lives. We've got to stay close to the Word. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Come on and give God some glory for the Word.
Hallelujah.
We praise God. We praise God and we give him glory and give him praise and give him honor. Hallelujah for what he has done. Hallelujah. Do you have anything you want to say? Okay. Hallelujah. So we just bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I know all of us here are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and fire baptized in the house now. I don't know about online now, but you guys out there, I hope that you are saved as well. If not, all you have to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead just for you and just concerning these things that we are talking about. And if you have something going on with you in your life, deliverance is in salvation. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for you and that he is coming back to receive you unto himself. Amen. Hallelujah. We are going to go on and give now. Those of you that is in-house, you can write a check. You can pay cash. I also have a Square that I can use. You can go on and pay your tithes. Those of you that are online, you can use the app, the Light of the World app, and then you want to text it to me, the amount that you paid, so that I can credit it toward Noonday Bible Study. On your envelopes here in the house, I want you to put Noonday Bible Study on your envelopes. Those of you that are online, I want you to go into the app, and I want you to text me at 770-906-0607 and let me know what amount you gave for doing Noonday Bible Study. You can pay your tithes. You can give your anniversary offering, all of that. You can do that at this time. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we bless you. We honor you. We glorify your name, Lord, and we pray, Lord God, that as we give today, you will give it back to us pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto our bosom, that we may be able to give again. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen.
Coming in, and we thank God for another opportunity to share the word of God. Amen. We pray that you have been edified and inspired, amen, to continue to let God have his way and will in your life. So we're going to go ahead and dismiss. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the mercy and the grace. Thank you, God, for another opportunity, oh God, to learn more about you. Reveal your truth to us, oh God, that we will walk in it, we talk in it, we live in it. In Jesus' name we pray. God, dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are now dismissed. Yeah, 25.
Get on, get on.
Okay. Yeah, 10. Absolutely, So you're working on it. That's good, man. That's good. You got it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.